Another thing, obviously, that's very different about squamous versus non-squamous is in non-squamous, we have an indication for chemotherapy and checkpoint inhibitor. In squamous, we don't. But I'm curious, do you think that's coming? Do we have any data out there right now on that strategy in squamous? And what do you think we'll see over the next couple of years?
I think this is easily the hottest area in lung cancer. There are a considerable number of trials going on right now that are looking at the combination of chemotherapy plus checkpoint inhibitors. And we're going to see readouts on data, the larger phase 3 trial with pembrolizumab this year. We're going to see data with atezolizumab. We're going to see data with durvalumab. All of these agents will have combination trials that we will see results of over the coming year. So I think we're going to learn a lot more about these in general. And particularly for squamous cell lung cancer, most of the trials have included an arm that gives patients with squamous cell lung cancer a combination of chemotherapy plus immunotherapy. Now, you know, whether this approach pans out, we're going to see, but we are going to have lots of data to inform the decision, I think, over the course of the coming year.
What about the issue of first-line therapy? You know, again, it looks pretty straightforward, mainly based on the FDA requirement of a PD-L1 assay over 50%. But from the data that you've seen up to this point, could you envision situations clinically where you might want to use a checkpoint inhibitor up front in a patient who has a TPS score less than 50%? For example, a patient who has minimal disease burden, is asymptomatic, maybe an older patient that you want to sort of get away from chemotherapy? Or is that 50% such a watershed that once you start getting below it, it really doesn't match up to chemotherapy?
I think we have to recognize that PD-L1 staining, like any immunohistochemistry, is very much an art and not a science, unlike with a mutation test where it's positive or negative. PD-L1 testing is based upon intensity of tumor staining. And again, it's a sample. So you're looking at one little section of one very large tumor, and you have a number you come up with. So I think we have to take all of this with a grain of salt. And I think that if you have a tumor that's PD-L1 30%, it's not irrational to think that a different biopsy site would get you a PD-L1 of 60%. Bearing that in mind, I think when I see something that's a little bit lower than 50%, when I see something that's in the 30 to 40% range, and I see a patient who, as you suggest, might have a harder time with chemotherapy. Just last week in clinic, I met a gentleman who was 86 years old, had recurrent lung cancer, and had no interest in chemotherapy. His PD-L1 was 40%. It's hard to imagine that I really need to try chemotherapy, and he's asymptomatic. It's perfectly reasonable to give a try with immunotherapy at this point. So I think I'm exploring that with this patient, trying to see if various approving insurance companies will agree.